Matt Devlin joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. I suppose in his heart of hearts, Dwayne Casey would have preferred that 102 to be a 92 and keep a team below 100. But baby steps forward, and certainly I thought a better performance by the Raptors. Yeah, they were helped by the fact that the Rockets seemed to forget how to shoot three-pointers. Well, they didn't forget how to shoot them. They forgot how to make them. But I think by and large, Matt Dwayne Casey has to be a little happier today than he was yesterday at this time.
Absolutely. He has to be thrilled. I mean, you're taking on a Rockets team, Jeff, that had won three games in a row. A Rockets team that makes 13.3 threes. They come out and they shoot 3 for 21 initially. In the second half, as we know, they continued to shoot them. They shot over 40 threes and started making them, but yet the Raptors held them to 20 points in the first, 19 in the second quarter. And so, yes, I agree with you. I think that they would have liked to have seen that number at 99 instead of 102 coming into the game. Mike D'Antoni's team actually had held opponents to less points than the Raptors. But a lot of that, as both of us know, has to do with the opponents. I think you look back, and those two Sacramento games are games that certainly stand out. But you go into Houston, you take care of business the way you're supposed to, and you got an immense amount of help from Corey Joseph, who had his best game. Damari Carroll had his best game. Jonas had a double-double. And Terrence hit a couple of really key buckets. And you turned Houston over at a high rate.
I thought Damari Carroll, quite frankly, in playing in two of the past three games, and he sat out the one game, for I guess as maintenance.
Yep.
But Matt, I thought that might be his best two games. I'm going to call it back to back, if you want to call it that, as a Raptor. I just thought he was noticeable. He was involved in absolutely almost everything good that happened. He was involved in it.
Oh, I would agree. And he talked about the process of getting back to 100%. This is, the way it's going to be until, probably January, where he's not going to play in back-to-back games. He did play, obviously, Sunday against Sacramento, had a Monday, Tuesday where, he was off and then was able to go last night. He was really good last night. I would agree that it's the best game that I've seen from him in a while. Last season, only played in 26 games, so it's a small sample size. But he, shot the three. He played really good defense as well. So that, that's important, as we know. I mean, everybody always likes to talk about, DeMar and Kyle and, the amount of minutes and, the assists. Well, first of all, if you want to win, Kyle Lowry's going to have to play some minutes unless Corey Joseph and others are providing a lift for the Raptors. And then, it's a team that, outside of Terrence Ross, really doesn't have many catch-and-shoot guys.
Mm-hmm.
Damari Carroll can be one of those guys, and that's where you get assists or from catch-and-shoot. So, for the Raptors, that was important last night that Carroll had that type of performance.
Matt, I found it interesting. I think when we've talked about Corey Joseph lately, I'm talking about, people who follow the Raptors or Raptors fans, there's been a lot of focus on his defense, and understandably, because when you're, the guy off the bench, it's going to be a point of focus. But I found it fascinating that after the game last night, Corey was talking about how Dwayne Casey, he talked to him about his defense, but he also talked to him essentially about being less deferential. Can you explain how, and the two work together, don't they? Being less deferential in offense and also being a little more of a force in defense. Talk to me a little bit about how those two work together.
Well, for, Corey, I think for him, it's his second year. He played in, more games than he ever played in last season. And I think for him, when you are on that, on the offensive end of the floor, part of being a facilitator and getting others a basketball is certainly, key, but also you need to make shots.
Mm.
You need to make shots because it's going to take the focus off of Kyle, because when he plays with Kyle, or it's going to take some of the focus off with DeMar DeRozan. And we understand how hard he works on the defensive end, but him making shots is another, you know, component to the success of this team. And I thought last night that was his best game by far of the season. I mean, he shot the ball really well. And, you know, after the game, I was talking to one of the Raptor coaches, and we were talking about all the threes, you know, that Houston missed. And early on, a lot of them were open threes. But what happened was they were missing them, and then the Raptors were getting a little bit of life from that. Like, oh, okay, you know, they're going to keep taking them, and, you know, we're hustling here on defense, and things are working out. And then conversely, on the other end, what's happening is, you know, Corey Joseph is making a three. And as he said, and we've said so many times, it's a make-or-miss league. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have open looks, you have to make them. And, you know, the Raptors last night, from an offensive perspective, did that. The Rockets didn't. We can go back and look at the games against Sacramento, two games against Cleveland, where they had opportunities to make some shots, and they didn't. But, you know, last night they did, and it's a good sign. Now, can you carry that over to Milwaukee on Friday? And if you could leave with a victory, you know, on Friday, I think that would be very significant.
Oh, yeah, I would think that coming home for a run of games, being able to get practice time, if you can come back with two wins in a row after, you know, on a tough trip. And you know, I mean, you've won. Look, you've won in an arena in a Toyota Center where you hadn't won in your previous nine visits. The other thing the Raptors did, and this is, I think this is, you know, if you're looking at this season, Matt, as being sort of trying to get all your ducks lined up for the playoffs. I mean, this team still hasn't lost three games in a row going back to November 15th to 18th last year. Like that, you know, those are things you can hang your hat on if you're a coach and if you're a team.
Well, for sure. You know, for the first time they had dropped four or five last year. They never dropped four or five in a five-game sequence. But look at the schedule. They're in the schedule of eight of ten on the road, you know, starting in Oklahoma City, and obviously we've talked so much about, you know, the opponents along the way. But you win in Denver where it's tough to win. You win in overtime. Sacramento, we know what happened at the end of the game. To me, Sacramento was a lot about that first quarter, allowing 36 points. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, the Raptors didn't dig in that night. You come back and you play hard against the Clippers. And there's a couple of signs along the way. You know, against the Cleveland Cavaliers, look at the combination of players that stayed on the floor at all times. Against Golden State, even when it was 118-100, Jeff, Steve Kerr kept Curry and Thompson and Draymond Green and KD on the floor. Raptors cut into that lead and end up making it a game late. And to me, that said a lot, that Steve Kerr was concerned. You know, he wanted to keep his main guys, you know, on the floor. He didn't have a sense or a feel that that game was over with. And so it's been a resilient group. It's been a group, you know, as both of us have talked about before, where, you know, it's a reflection of the coach and the players, you know, that they're not going to back down. They're not going to give in. And just when you think that things are headed in the other direction, they come out in Houston and they, you know, put together, you know, a tremendous game. They hadn't won there since, you know, 2007. I mean, Andrea Bargnani led the way that night with 20 points. It had been that long. In a game where, you know, DeMar DeRozan in the third quarter, coming into the third, he had 3 points. He scored 21 points in the third. And we're seeing also the evolution of him as a player. He had 9 assists. Mm-hmm. He got so much attention, Jeff, that he was like, he became a facilitator. So there's just, you know, that game had a lot of growth in it, whether it be Carroll, DeRozan, JV, Joseph, Ross. Those are all great signs.
And, you know, you mentioned JV, and one of the takeaways I had from that game as well is, you know, we've talked about how the NBA is undergoing, or in the past two or three years has undergone a bit of a transition, you know, more three-point shooting, more outside. And that game to me last night reinforced how you can have success with the traditional big man, with a guy like Jonas, against a team that's kind of, you know, that plays kind of more to the new NBA style. I mean, I think you saw what a guy like Jonas can do against a team playing that style. I thought there were a couple of instances last night where the Raptors were wobbling a little bit, and I thought it was JV who got, you know, his work, who got a rebound that kind of righted the ship.
Well, I would agree. I think what, you know, the Raptors did, and rightfully so, was they fed him early and took advantage of Clint Capella defensively. And they just went at him, you know, and this is a, you know, a Houston team that's, you know, essentially four out, one in, you know, a screen and roll team up top with James Harden, you know, multiple, you know, action. And then Harden likes to call that off and, and, you know, obviously shoot the three. You can do that where it, you know, Valanciunas, if you look at the matchups this year, I mean, whether it be Andre Drummond, where he had a great game, Cousins, you know, he put up big points against him. You know, obviously last night with a double-double. You know, a lot of it is matchup-driven. There are teams, two specifically, that cause an immense amount of trouble. And that would be Cleveland when they put Channing Frye in, who's a five that stretches the floor out. It becomes extremely difficult, you know, for Jonas at this stage of his career, you know, to try to handle that. And the other is obviously when Golden State puts Draymond Green at the five. And so when teams, and everybody talks about going small, you know, how many teams can really do that? You know, Cleveland can do it because of LeBron. Golden State can do it because of Draymond Green. You know, there's not a lot of other teams. Other teams try it, but yet how many are successful with it? You can go small, and I will say this. On Monday night, the Raptors, they pulled out, the coaches pulled out every trick to try to stay in that game against the Clippers. They went to Hakeem Jordan early in the third. They went to Patrick Patterson at the five with four guards around him. I mean, they did, I thought it was, you know, one of the great creative approaches that I've seen in a long time. They did everything they could. And so you're seeing a lot of that around the league. But, yes, I agree. When Jonas has that matchup, you take advantage of it, and that's exactly what he did.
Looking around the NBA, Kevin Love had quite a night in the first quarter.
Yeah, how about that?
34 of 40 points. In the first quarter, that's just a, what the NBA record is, 37 points in a quarter. I think Klay Thompson did that.
Yeah,
you know, we obviously the Cavaliers, a point of interest in this city and this marketplace for a variety of reasons, not the least of which they're kind of that the impediment. I think that we all you know, the impediment to the Raptors getting where we want to see them get. What if Kevin Love, Matt, becomes really, 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 really comfortable in Cleveland? I think we saw signs of that a little bit last year, but you're seeing some signs of that as well this year. What is, not a 40-point night by Kevin Love, but what does a really comfortable, happy, content, engaged Kevin Love bring to this team?
Probably, and it's a great question, Jeff. It probably means back-to-back titles. Because, as we both know, early on, it wasn't working. You go from being a focal point in Minnesota, being an all-star, to not taking a secondary role. You become the third option. You know, very much like Chris Bosh when he went to Miami. You're no longer the main guy. You're not the second guy. You're the third guy. And last year was the first time that he started to become more comfortable. And they talked an awful lot about, you know, not only on the court, the comfort of on the court, but also off the court. And you're seeing that with Kevin Love, where there's so much conversation about how he wasn't engaged with the players, and LeBron would reach out, and there's just, and then last season it was total buy-in. and it was a team that was close on the court, off the court, would go to, you know, team dinners all the time, and they would all be there where maybe three seasons ago, two seasons ago, you know, that wasn't the case. And now you're seeing it. And, you know, last night you're seeing LeBron James saying, yeah, you know, I've been to six consecutive finals, six consecutive, and I don't need to put up a massive performance right now at this point of the season, but you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to be able to be that guy. And I think it says a lot. It says a lot about LeBron. It says a lot about Kevin Love, that they've been able to work through things and be where they are, and winning helps that. And also, interestingly enough, you know, go back to when the Raptors played the Cavaliers twice. LeBron James was on the court all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And what did LeBron do the next night? He took the night off against Indiana.
Right.
He knows who his main competitors are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's why he wants to get others involved. It's why he's going to say, okay, you know, when Cleveland's playing Toronto, you know, that's a game I'm playing in. The next night against Indiana, I can take that game off. Yes, we lost, but that's okay. They're not a team that we have to worry about.
I just wanted to shift focus a little bit and bring it back to Damari Carroll for a second, because you said something that kind of slipped by me. And I want to make sure I understood it right. Is it our understanding that kind of January is the target date at which point the gloves are off with Damari in terms of maintenance days and things of that nature?
Well, in talking to Damari, you know, one of the things that he mentioned to me was that, you know, trusting the process, that, you know, they sat down and they looked at the schedule, and they wanted to avoid back-to-backs. They would pick which game of the two that they would play in. And I said, how long do you think that would, you know, go on? And he said roughly January would be, you know, that timeline, depending upon obviously how things go. And so, you know, you're looking at, you know what, another 5 weeks of that. And off the top of my head, I know there's a double-double, back-to-back coming up.
Mm-hmm.
December.
Double-double, you're thinking of Canada, aren't you?
Well, I'm thinking of a coffee right now. you know, with us getting in late last night. There's a back-to-back, I think it is, off the top of my head, December 8th and 9th. So there's going to be a couple of other opportunities. And, you know, I think it's important, again, you know, to your point earlier about, you know, this team, where they are, our point both about Cleveland, you know, for the Raptors, this year is very much about, you know, the postseason again and how deep they go. And maybe not a Sunday night in Sacramento or a Monday night in Los Angeles, as much as we get caught up in that, and understandably so, because you take those games and you say, okay, you know, are these a reflection of who they're going to be later on in the season? But for Damari Carroll, it's extremely important to have him 100% as they, you know, head into, you know, that second half of the season and into, you know, the postseason. And the same could be said, you know, obviously with Jared Sullinger, who is on this trip, but nowhere near close to coming back. But I think it's important that he's on the trip as a member of the team, because, you know, being new to a team and you know, being injured, it can be lonely, because you're back in Toronto while the team's out. And, you know, Jared is on this trip, and I think that that's important, just to be around the players, be around the guys.
So what does everybody do for dinner tonight?
I think the team, I think, is going to have a meal, and then I think myself and some of the crew, we're going to, you know, go find a restaurant that is open and have American Thanksgiving here in Milwaukee.